Professor Lee F. Braithwaite received his training at Brigham Young University, Stanford University, the University of the Pacific, and the University of Hawaii. He specialized in marine biology, paleontology, and invertebrate zoology. Since joining our faculty, he has received numerous teaching and mentoring awards. Dr. Braithwaite is focused on the study of marine animal feeding strategies and the behavior of predators and prey alike found in shallow to very deep waters. The highlight of his career, I'm told, has involved deep sea submersible studies in the Bahamas and taking BYU students each spring term to West Coast marine stations for mentoring experiences. During his career, Brother Braithwaite has continuously been involved in church service. He particularly enjoyed being a home teacher, a bishop, a branch president at the Missionary Training Center, as well as a friend to as many people and students as possible. He and his wife, Judith Johns, have 10 children and 37 grandchildren. And now, Brother Braithwaite.
Right up front, I would like to thank Kay Johnson. She has helped me with all of the details, and she granted all of my wishes except for one. I asked her if I could bring my cardiologist along with me to sit by my side. Hopefully I can get through this talk without needing one. I love BYU. I love the students here. I love the faculty and staff and the administrators. I have made many friends while being here. And I'm going to focus on being a good friend. And I ask that all of you might reflect on what kind of a friend are you? We all function so much better when we are friends. We are united. Now, I love to tell stories. I hope you like to listen to stories. I'm going to start in life before kindergarten and life during grade school, then junior high, then high school, and then at the time of college. Now, I'm going to tell you things, and I very much dislike boasting. So I'm going to tell you stories, by and large, of events where I did some dumb things. And good friends picked me up. How do we qualify as a good friend? And how may we be a good friend to others on a constant basis? I believe a true friend is a person that will bring out the best in us. We can have friends that do not bring out the best in us. But hopefully we all have friends that lift us up. We all need being lifted in life. My first story involves a time when I was 3.5 years of age. My mother called to me and she said, "Lee, hurry up and get ready for church." I was very defensive and I said, "I do not want to go to church." And she said, "But Jesus wants you to." And I defiantly and defensively stated, "I never see him there." Well, it's funny, but my mother wasn't amused. She knew her work was cut out for her. And she started reading from a book that she had when she was a small girl. The same book that President Hinckley had when he was the same age as my mother. Their mothers read to them. This is a book that I still have, light blue and dog-eared. It's entitled The Life of Our Lord. And it was a beautiful book, especially when Mother read. I remember that she placed a beautiful picture of the Savior over the piano in our living room. As a constant reminder, and I've loved that picture. And when my mother passed away, the picture's on the wall of our family room. Eight of my 10 children are here. One is in Detroit, and one is in Baltimore. Oh, how I love my family, my mother and father, my grandparents, many relatives. And I know I love them more because I learned to love my Savior. Now going to elementary school, in the fifth grade, I did something really dumb. Just before Valentine's Day, my teacher asked all of us children to make Valentine boxes out of shoeboxes. You've probably done the same thing. You might still do it today. We had white paper and white paper lace and red hearts. And on Valentine's morning, Mother said, "Now, Lee, you remember to give a Valentine to each one of the pupils in your class." Well, I went to school, and before school started, I started stuffing Valentines. But I didn't take the advice of Mother. Have you ever done that? It's dumb, isn't it? Well, I gave a Valentine to everyone except for a girl. She was obnoxious. She was mean, and she could probably beat up on me if if she wanted to. When it came time to tear our Valentine boxes apart, I glanced over at the girl. She had tears rolling down her cheeks. And she didn't have a single Valentine. I hurt to this day that I didn't pay heed to my mother. I have noticed during the years that a lot of people need friends, true friends. And if anyone did, she did. I became a better friend to her, but I didn't relieve the negative situation. May we listen to our true friends and do the right things. In junior high, like most of you, you probably can't remember too much. But I remember my grandfather. He was old. And he related to me as a small boy stories, and I heard those stories at least 36 times. But I tried hard to listen intently. I think I was the only one that ever listened to him. I listened because I loved him. Well, when I got into high school, one day, I and my brother and my friends were playing basketball at the end of our barn with an old rusty rim, a homemade backboard, and a gunny sack for a net. We had fun there. And one day it was very overcast, and I looked across the very wet, recently plowed field and saw my little granddaddy from England trudging across the field. As he got closer, I noticed he had huge mud balls on his boots. When he got closer, I went up to him and he said, "Lee, if you will practice over and over many times, you will get good." And he turned and went back and made larger balls of mud on his feet. And I thought, "Granddaddy, you're crazy. You came all this way just to tell me that." But over the years, I found he was a true friend. He helped me practice and practice. He helped me when I went to college. There was a class that I took that I had a little preparation. I was very frightened. I didn't think I could pass it, let alone get a good grade. I remembered my granddaddy's story. And I studied, believe it or not, and surprising to myself, 6 hours each school day. If we practice and practice, we will get good. I hope all of you students will study hard, not only in the subjects that you really like, but especially in those that you have been avoiding. And study and study until you do well. Now in high school, something real special took place. I'm going to tell you another dumb story. One beautiful Sabbath morning, my mother called upstairs to me and said, "Lee, are you ready to go to conference?" And I said, "No, I don't feel well." She said, "Okay, trusting me." Well, I didn't feel badly physically, but I was really bad as far as attitude goes. It's the first time I'd done that. And all during conference, I couldn't read the books I loved to read. I couldn't concentrate it. I wished I hadn't gone. Father was in the state prison, see, and I knew that I had let him down once he found out what really happened. Well, after conference, the state president and the state presidency came. And the elder Marky Peterson and his wife. When Elder Peterson came in to our living room, I could hear him. He had a strong voice. And he said, "I'd like to meet your family." Oh, I felt bad. I wish I had been there in my best clothes. And after my father introduced my good brother and my 3 good sisters, Elder Peterson said, "Is this all?" Oh, I felt bad. But I really felt bad with his next statement. He said, "Where is he?" And Father said, "Upstairs." And Elder Peterson said, "I would like to meet him." Oh, I felt leaping out of a far attic window. But I decided to take it. Receive my Scott's blessing. 2 pairs of giant steps came up the wooden stairs. When Elder Peterson got to the top, he looked all around. I was really shaking. He looked and saw all the marine specimens I had on shelves and all the books that I had purchased, my microscope. He saw my little room that I had turned into a lab and study. And instead of calling me to repentance, he said, "Lee," very kindly. And in a powerful voice, he said, "What are you going to do with all of this?" I could hardly talk, and I said, "I would like to be a marine biologist." And he said, "What do you mean, like to? Are you?" A powerful lesson was learned. There is a big difference between liking to accomplish something and doing it. And I tell that story often to students. There is a big difference. It can make the difference between trying to reach the celestial kingdom and qualifying. It can mean graduating from BYU. Not just trying, but doing it. It can mean getting a master's degree. It can mean getting a PhD. Oh, how President or Elder Peterson helped me. He helped me through the tough times. Now, I'd like to focus on the time I've been here. I'm no spring chicken. I've been here since 1964 teaching. I've learned some important things. I have learned to be kind to everyone. Wherever I go, but especially here at BYU, I have learned that it really pays to make friends with as many professors, administrators, staff, physical plant people, even custodians. Some of my very best friends at BYU are found scattered all over the campus. I wish I had more time to get into more buildings and make more friends. Friends are really important. And I, as a professor, truly believe it is very important to get to be friends with students. When I first started teaching at BYU, one of the senior faculty members counseled me. He said, "Never get too close to your students or they won't work as hard." Well, I really liked that professor and I tried it, but in time I found he was wrong. Very wrong. If I become a friend to my students, they work harder, not less. Now, just after I started teaching at BYU, an aunt of mine, who was like a second mother, stated one day, she actually posed a question. She said, "Lee, do you give all of your students A's?" And I said, "Of course not. They don't all earn A's." And she said, "If you taught well enough, they would get A's." Wow, I'd never heard of that before. I didn't believe her at first. And then as I got a little bit older and a bit wiser, the older part came easy, the wiser part was difficult. But I found out that if I got close to my students and required them to work hard, they would be better students. Now, it doesn't benefit a student at all if we give a student a high grade and they haven't earned it. It doesn't benefit at all us as professors here at BYU and the students if we send them off with perfect letters of recommendation and they are not at the level to earn all of the compliments given. It will be hard for students to get into schools from that point on. Professors lose their credibility. I had a good friend that retired from geology once, a short time ago. He only retired once. And he said, "Lee, if I had to do it over again, I would have taken better care of the students that were struggling." He said, "I have noticed all over the years that you have done that." Well, sure, I have to some, but there's so many students I haven't been able to do it to all. But let me tell you one last story. I had a student that I took to the University of Washington's Friday Harbor Labs, and after field work, I gave them an examination to see if they retained the names of the critters that they saw and collected. I came up to this one fellow, and I said, "Oh, that's a great grade. You only missed 6. And he said, "Dr. Braithwaite, 6 is the number I got right." I started noticing him. He was very quiet. I could tell he was a troubled young man. In time, I got close to him, and he related to me that when he was a small boy, he was put in charge of tending his little brother. And he got distracted by his friends. His mother came home and she asked where little brother was. And oh, it dawned on this student, I have left him for a long time. He and his friends and mother went searching, and that young boy was found in a ditch, drowned. That had haunted him all his days and was still haunting him. He never smiled. He was always quiet. I thought and thought, what can I do to pick the student up? Then the branch president asked me if I would select a program out of my students and have them speak and sing in sacrament meeting. And it dawned on me, I will ask this student to sing. I had heard him sing to himself, and he had a beautiful voice. And he sang, "I know that my Redeemer lives. All in the congregation had tears running down their faces. I did. From that time on, that young man was accepted by the students. He was a hero. He had many good friends. Brothers and sisters, good friends are so important to each of us. May we be true friends and lift as many up as we can. And may we do this with the spirit that President Hinckley so beautifully extends to us. May we follow our prophet perfectly. May we follow him perfectly. May we follow our Father in heaven as perfectly as possible. May we follow our Savior as the very best we can. May we be very good friends, true friends to them. And may we not disappoint them, our families, our friends, as we sojourn here at BYU and after. And I say these things from my heart and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.